Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
All right, well, let's take our Bibles. We've been on this series. It's so funny. Our son came down last night, and I was talking to him in the kitchen. He said, Dad, what are you talking about tomorrow? I said, well, we're on this series. He goes, Dad, when are you not on a series? I said, that is so true. So fair. You know, I said, but anyway, we're on this series. And I tell you today, we have been on this series of the love of God. And how many have enjoyed that? Have you enjoyed learning about the love of God? Can anybody be honest? Has there been some tight spots, like you heard something and it's like, ugh. You know, some of you have come to me and talked about pressing it out during the week. Another press, another rep, dealing with people, dealing with family, dealing with maybe even yourself. Having to walk. How many has ever encountered where you've had to actually walk in love with yourself? To forgive yourself. You know, when we make a mistake, it's like it's so important just to forgive yourself. Because you can only love others as much as you love yourself. If you can't forgive yourself, you will not be able to forgive others. Right? So we've had some tight spots, right? And but how many know the grace of God is helping us to learn? Oh, yeah. Amen. And let me just say this. As we're going through this series, and maybe I should have said this. I probably should have said this sooner. But don't get down. Don't get down on yourself. If you hear me teach something and it's like, oh, man, I just screwed up so many times at that area this week. So what? Do you love God? Yes. I'm asking you, do you love God? Yes, sir. I was a little weak, but let me ask it one more time. Do you love God? Yes. Right? Well, if you love God, that's the most important thing. Now, what I'm not saying is, well, since you love God, then, you know, whatever mistakes you make, that's okay. No, that's not what we're saying. We're just saying the most important thing is if you love God, God can help you get past the mistakes. Yes. He'll help you to grow. And so that's why we come in here on Sunday, isn't it? So we can learn. So we can grow. If I thought that I was speaking to a bunch of perfect people that never made mistakes, then why are we even getting together? Yeah. And then it's just a country club of talking about how much we know. This is not my water. I have not drank that much water today. That is Heather's water. I get enough of her cooties without drinking her water. I'm just kidding. I can never get too many cooties, honey. Hey, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. So I'm getting all mushy with my wife. Okay. And I want to share something today. That we all need to hear. You know, remember me talking about those tight spaces? Today's going to be a little tight for some of us. And maybe if you hear this today and you're like, nah, PK, man, I nailed that 20 years ago. Good for you. But there's some stuff in the Bible. How many know it's in the Bible? Say, it's in the Bible. Okay. There are some things recorded in the Bible that can make us squirm at times. Because why? Because it challenges our flesh, yeah. Right? And so we want to talk about some of those things today, and because the Lord loves us, and He wants us to be able to walk with Him perfectly. And when I say perfectly, I don't mean flawlessly. He wants us to be perfect in the Bible. There are times when it talks about God being perfect. Well, He is perfect. He is flawless. But when it's talking about us, He's not. When He says be perfect as I am perfect, He's not saying be flawless as I am flawless. He's like, be complete, grow, mature, be fully developed. And that's what every student should want. Yeah. And that's the way I look at people that come to church, including myself. I'm just a student. Yeah. I am a student of students. I am a student of God's Word. I just want to know what He wants, and I want to do it the best I possibly can. Yeah. But why? Because I love Him. I love Him. So really, today's message is really about, well, I titled it this way, is the love of God in you? And as we go through the message, you'll see what I'm saying. But is the love of God in you? I almost called it and could call it, love not the world. Love not the world. Now, let me remind you, I didn't put those words in the Bible, right? See, now it got super quiet, right? Well, let's see what that's about. And you're going to see right off the top, as we get into the first scripture, you're going to see why this is so important that we do not love the world. And now, let's define, what are we talking about when we say love not the world? I'm not talking about don't love the people of the world. That's not what God's talking about. You know he didn't, because, I mean, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. God loves the world. But when God says love, when the Bible says love not the world, he's not talking about don't love the people of the world. He's talking about don't love the ways, the attitudes, the way the world functions and is. Don't be like that. The Bible says that we are in the world, but we're not of the world, right? If you are of the world, you cannot win the world, right? If you are like them, you cannot win them. If you participate and act and talk and do all the stuff that the world does, and then you try to present Jesus, they're going to look at you and go, what's the difference between you and me? We're both sitting here talking the same dirty stuff, feeling the same way, acting the same way, participating in the same things. So what separates you from me? See, they need to be able to see the light and the love of Jesus in us. Jesus was called, and you've heard me say it so many times, a friend of sinners. The religious people actually meant for that to be a derogatory statement. It wasn't the disciples that called him a friend of sinners, and it wasn't God that called him a friend of sinners. It was the religious people, because they didn't like it that he was hanging out with sinners, and it looked like the sinners was enjoying his company. But did... The Bible said Jesus never sinned. So Jesus didn't jump in their boat and partake of their boat. Right? In other words, Jesus didn't go to the bars with them and drink with them. Jesus did not, do the drugs with them. Jesus didn't talk the dirty stuff with them. Jesus didn't go in there and get affected by them. Jesus went in there, became friends with them, so he would affect them. And see, that's what the Bible means when it says, love not the world. We are to love the people of the world, but we are not to love the things of the world. And no, I am not, this is not a message about you need to live in abject poverty. You can't have anything. You're not supposed to love the things of the world. You're not. You're not supposed to love your truck. You're not supposed to love your car. You're not supposed to love your house. And you know, the word love has been so minimized and watered down in our culture because, everybody just loves everybody until they cross them. When I used to drive for the school district, drive a school bus, you'd sit out there and everybody's just hugging on one another one day and they're just loving on one another. And then before you know it, they're ready to fight. There went the love, right? But everybody loves everything. I just love my truck. Oh, I just love my house. I just love my this. I love my that. Well, if you say all that, and then you come to me and say, PK, man, I just love you, bro. I was like, okay, great. But the other day you were saying you love pizza. So do I come before the pizza or after the pizza? Do you love me more than your car or after your car, right? It's like, but we really need to reserve love for what love is designed for. It's to love God, number one, and to love people. And we say it around here all the time. We love God by loving people. And how many know we can all get better at that? Including and even starting with right here. I need to get better at loving people. We all need to get better at loving one another and loving people, right? All right. So you guys ready for this? You know, feel free to jump and dance and shout. I mean, I like what Roger, you know, I like what Roger says. It's rapture practice. You know, it's okay to jump in church because, you know, it's rapture practice. I like that. Hallelujah. All right, let's go with me to 1 John. Glory to God. Say this with me. Say, I'm going to learn today. I'm going to grow today. And I'm going to get better at this. I'm going to love better. I'm going to love God better. I'm going to serve God better. Because he's already poured his love in me. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. All right, so what do we know so far? This is the things we've talked about so far. If we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said it. It's in the Bible. So we know that's what we're supposed to do. And he didn't say the commandments that is easy and comfortable, did he? He said all of them. He says, you keep my commandments, right? And the other thing we know and we've talked about is to, if you love God, you're going to love one another. We talked extensively about that, how to love other people. One thing we haven't, I talked a little bit about it, and I really want to talk more about it today, is about loving God. Because you only love people with the love that God has given you. And everything you go to do, and I think I talked a little bit about it last week, but everything you go to do, you may not particularly care for the person very much, but you'll walk in love with them, maybe not because you feel so much love for them, but because you love God. You'll do something for somebody that absolutely hates you, right? Not because you're feeling all warm and fuzzy about them. You may absolutely detest the things they've said about you, the way they've treated you, but I'm going to love you because I, number one, because I love God. Because I love God. Amen. And did you know that God doesn't ask us to do what he hasn't already done? While we were still sinners, he loved us. While we were cursing his name. Anybody ever did that? Nobody. Is there anybody in here that's never cussed? No, yeah. Yeah, liars. I'm just kidding. No, yeah. Is there anybody in here that has? Is there anybody in here that has never cussed? Never cussed. Yeah, me neither. Did you know? God is not so concerned about people cussing, and God's not concerned about people drinking. Isn't it funny how we can get saved and we can be born again for like 20, 30 years, and if we're not careful, we can get judgmental about somebody that just gave their life to Christ, and then you saw them walk into a bar, and then next time you see them, you just want to criticize them, tell them, Christians don't act like that. Like as if you never sinned. Right? I don't care, and God don't care. And hear me. I don't jump out and run out at this statement, or you're going to blow everything up, okay? So I don't care, and God don't care so much about what people do. Here's the question. Do they love God? You say, well, they were in the bar. All more the reason they need to be in here. But they were doing this. All the more reason they need to be in here. You're being critical. All the more reason you need to be in here, right? God loves people. He loves people. If we can just love people in, I don't care what they're involved in. And I mean, I don't care what they're involved in. If we can just love them in, it's not even our job to fix them. So, well, I'll fix them later. No, I'm going to let God fix it. That's a big job. It's a big job to fix somebody. Doctors can't even do it. Right? Jesus is the only one that can fix people. But if we can't get them in here around the presence of Jesus, how can we get them fixed? So it's not about getting them in, even to getting them fixed. It's just about if we can just get them to want God. And if they love God, we all have made mistakes. I've made some this week. What about you? No, me, I'm the only one. Okay, that's fine. I know. I'm just kidding around. But listen, God loves people. God loves people. Amen. So we can't allow the things of the world to get in us and cause us to be a bad testimony to people. Right? So the Bible says to love not the world. So let's talk about this. So we've talked about keeping his commandments and loving one another. But God loves people. So let's talk about this. I know it kind of sounds like a contradiction of terms. God loves people but don't love the world. You know, so you got it. All right. So let's look at this. 1 John chapter 2. You know, I think when people have talked about, you know, just you know, God loves people, they've kind of equated that to be, well, God loves you no matter what you're doing. You know, once saved, always saved. You're good. It doesn't matter how you live your life. But is that accurate? Because the Bible tells me in over in Romans chapter 6 and verse 2, it says that when you've given your life to Christ, there will be a newness of life. There when you've authentically given your heart to Christ, right, there is an absolute authentic desire to please him. You may not always get it perfect, and I promise you, you won't. But what I can tell you is that if you've authentically, if you've made the decision to follow Christ and to give your life to Christ, then there will be that desire to make him happy. When I decided to be in a relationship with my wife, I didn't care about what any other girl thought, what any other guy thought, what family thought, what anybody. All I wanted is to make her happy. And what did it do? It caused me, and here's where a lot of people have issue with this, it caused me to alter how I was living. I no longer did things that I did before and acted and lived. I stopped living single. I wasn't even married yet. But it caused me to alter my single living mindset because I knew I wanted her in my life. So I began to do everything I could, including almost getting frostbit just to go spend a few minutes with her. Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, sub-zero degrees this particular year. And I wanted to see her, so what did I do? I got up in the morning. My dad's van wouldn't start, so I couldn't use it. So I hitchhiked in negative weather. A doctor came along, picked me up, and lectured me all the way. This was kind of an ironic story because he lectures me about how I could be frostbitten, but he wouldn't take me to her apartment. He dropped me off at the mall. It's like, how much do you really care about me, doc? You know, but he lectured me about all this. He says, so what's got you hitchhiking? I said, well, I just want to go see my girlfriend. He goes, man, you are crazy. I said, I know, I'm crazy in love. But what my point is when you give your heart to someone, it causes you to alter your lifestyle. You'll start making decisions not based on just you, but them. And when a person gives their life to Christ, they don't want to run from him. They want to run to him. And it causes you to alter the way you live and the things that you're involved with. Before I met Heather, and even some after, but I was stupid. Man, I did dangerous, dangerous, dangerous things. If there was a cliff close by, I would get out and lean over it, just maintaining just enough balance not to fall over. I would do crazy, dumb, stupid stuff. But when I'm shortly after I married her, it began to dawn on me, I've got somebody to take care of. And then when our son was born, I was like, oh, I got two somebodies to take care of. So I stayed away from the edge. And I quit doing the stupid things that could have hurt me, which would have affected them. Right? What am I saying? Because of my relationship, it altered the things that it altered my desires. If you truly love God, it will alter your desires. I'm not saying that you'll always get it perfect. You may want to stop cussing, but you've been doing it for 30 years. You may still cuss a little bit after you gave your life to Christ, because it's just like habit. I was talking to my friend over here at the gym again this week that I told you about. He comes up and he says, hey, you're a pastor? I said, yes. And he said, well, your wife told me that. I said, yeah. I said, see, I told you that a couple. Oh, I don't remember you saying that. I'm like, well, I am. No big deal. And then while he's doing it, he's like, effing, even after saying that, it's effing, right? So it's like, and then we started talking about, I said, hey, man, and he says, yeah, she told me I should come to your church. I said, you should. He goes, ah, man. He says, we just let people know how much God loves them. He goes, well, yeah, I know that. I love God. I love God, man. That's what gets me up every day. Effing. You know? You know, but it's like, I'm not concerned about that. Man, do you like hearing all that? No, I don't like hearing it all, but I love him. I love him. Now, there was a day that I'd have been like, man, that dude uses too many F-bombs for me. He can just go on to hell with his F-bombs. Right? But that's not the heart of God. The heart of God is to love people in their sin and love them right out of their sin. So if we can just get people, I want it to where when people come in here, they know they're loved, and even if they make a mistake, we're going to love them anyway. We're going to love them because I can't fix them. You can't fix them. All of us together can't fix them. All of us together can't hound them enough to get them fixed. But what we can do, we can just love them and let them know, hey, we love you anyway. And allow God to speak to their heart. Because when you get in a relationship with somebody, you know, I found out there's things. I never listened to R&B music till I met Heather. You know, I listened to some rock and roll and some country and all that. But then I've come to find out that she did not like country music. What do you think I did? Out the window, baby. I said, you don't like it? Neither do I, baby. Right? Because I just wanted to do what pleased her. And that's what walking with Jesus is. It's like, if we can get people in here, get Jesus in them, without being critical. Listen, here at The Difference, we do not condemn anybody. We don't preach condemnation, right? And my charge and challenge to you is for you to not to do that either. Let's not condemn people. Did you know even the Holy Spirit don't condemn people? He convicts them. He will convict them of their sin. Right, and he will attempt to correct them if they'll have it, but he don't condemn people. Right, Jesus, you know that famous verse, John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Has anybody read on down to verse 17? For God, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Does the world need saving? We all need a Savior. Jesus is our Savior. We all need him. But he didn't save us to condemn people. He said, I came to seek and save. I'm getting into next week. I came to seek and save. This is a really big thing into my heart. So it's really easy for it just to, I can kick just about any series I'm on right into, you know, evangelism, because I love seeing people come to Christ. And we've got to get better at doing that. But he says, I came to seek and save that which was lost. That's the reason Jesus came, is to get us out of bondage, out of doing everything by works, so we could trust in his grace, but then he could empower us and infuse us with his inner strength by the Holy Spirit, so we could go out and be the lights and be the vessels of love and get people into the kingdom. Amen? Amen. All right. So let's look at this real quick. Holy smokes. All right. Let's get into this real quick. 1 John chapter 2. Is the love of the Father in you? Let's find out. And if you decide by the end of the service that, oh, no, well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to fix that, so it's going to be okay. All right. So here we go. Let's look at this real quick. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you, for when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. There's no room for negotiation, is there, in this? And there shouldn't be, right? He says, to love the things of this world. Now, once again, we're not talking about you can't have a nice car, a nice house, whatever, right? But what we're talking about, you can't love the attitudes and the ways of the world, right? You can't love sleeping around and then say you love God. Well, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to commit adultery, or I'm going to go commit fornication. I'm going to go do all these things. But I love God too. Well, I say, no, you don't. No, forgive me for that. I don't say it. The Bible said it. If you love the things of the world, the Bible says, the love of the Father is not in you. So we've got to be willing to let go. So like I said, when I got in a relationship with Heather, I mean, there was things that I enjoyed that once I found out she didn't really care for it, I didn't care for it. Why? Because I just wanted to please her. And that's the way it is. That's the way I am with God. It's like, Lord, you know, Lord, I don't really like that. He goes, well, I don't really like it. And I'm like, you know, now that you mention it, I don't like it either. Are you willing to say that you don't like things that God don't like when he lets you know he don't like it? And see, that's just the thing. If we can get people in here and get Jesus in them, as they're growing in their relationship, he's going to let them know, I don't really like the way you act. I don't really like the relationships you're involved in. I don't really like the way you talk. That is so abrasive. That's not my love. If you really love God, you're going to go, you don't like that? No, I don't like that. Well, you know what? I don't like it anymore either. You know? Because when you, as you're growing in your relationship with God, you just want to, you find out something, he don't like it? Come on, husbands, I'll tell you, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Don't go out doing stuff that you know she don't like. That is not good brownie points right there. Heather already told me, you know what I'd like to do on Valentine's? I want you to take me to the coast. I'm like, we're there. We're going, right? I find out what she likes, and I do my very best to meet that. Why? Because I love her. I find out what God likes, and I do my very best to do that. Sometimes I have to be reminded of things. Sometimes I have to be challenged by God, and sometimes that comes through other people. But that's okay. The main thing is, do you have a heart to accommodate God's desires? Right, what God wants. All right. So he says here, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure. You may recognize the wording if I put it in New King James Version. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the, what is it? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What is lust? Did you know the word lust in itself is not bad? It carries a negative connotation. Man, he's just lusting after that girl. And so we kind of give it. But lust means strong, passionate desire. Right? There's actually a scripture that says, does the Holy Spirit lusteth in vain? I mean, no, he's not lusting in a wrongful way. He's the Holy Spirit, not the lusting spirit. But, you know, but what does it mean? Does he, in other words, the Holy Spirit lusts or has a passionate, strong desire to see you grow in God and to be all that God has for you. All right? So he says here, he says, so for the world offers only the craving for physical pleasure. The world offers only a craving for everything we see. The world offers a pride in our achievement and possessions. Right? These are not from the Father. Do you need to be proud of? You know, I've always told my son, you know, sign your work with excellence. Sign your work with your best. Should you be proud of the things? When I do something, when I finish my task, I want to look at it and be proud of what I've. But that's not a bad pride. But when you only find satisfaction in your achievements, then the love of the Father is not in that. Let me tell you what I find satisfaction in the most. Knowing that he's pleased with me. That I love him. I tell him often, Lord, let my life today be a love song written to you. See, and you talk like that and some guys are like, oh, what the hell? How about them Cowboys? Let's just watch some football. Yeah, you notice guys don't like, typically. Got some in here that, including myself, that are different. You know, Eddie's a big hugger, right? Kiss her too. We won't go there. Okay. But guys, typically, we don't like talking about love. Man, I just love you, brother. You know. That's the way it is typically in the world. We don't want to. But why is that? It's because love, the reason most guys are not like that is because love to them has a connotation of weakness. And we don't want to sound weak, so we don't go around telling everybody we love them. Man, I like you. You're a cool dude. Let's work on cars and play football. Let's go hunting. Right? And guys by nature are not relational and emotional and all that. But love is the strongest force in the world. Because God is love. And the Bible says love can't fail. I don't care how many muscles you got, how big you are, how many degrees you got, how great of a job you think you've got. All of that can fail like that. But God's love will never fail. God's love is the strongest force in the universe. That's why I don't have a hard time saying, man, I love you, bro. I love you, bro. Right? Because love is the strongest force in the world. You want to be a really strong man? Learn how to love. Learn how to let people know you love them. I remember there was a guy told his wife one day, said, this is not a joke. This really happened. Said, I love you, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. And then he never told her he loved him again for quite a while. I mean, no, that ain't good. No. Come on, man. It's okay to say I love you. Let your family know I love you. If you haven't told them in a while, find them today. Call them up and say, I just want you to know that I love you. I know I haven't told you enough, but I love you. I tell my wife and my son, I love them just about every time I talk to them. So Heather has to hear it all day, every day. You know, but I'm always, when I'm talking to my son, Bud, I just want you to know I love you, bro. Even when I'm texting, I can't get myself to not say I love you at the end of my text, even if it's just basic information. Love you, kiddo. Right? Love is the most powerful force in the universe. Oh, so Lord. Okay. I actually thought I would get a lot further. Anybody get anything out of that? Good.